I call to order the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting for August 10th, 2023. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Item 2, Notification of Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairman's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chair. Lastly, directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chairman. We ask that the public not interrupt directors' discussion and action. Thank you. Quorum call, please.
Bonnet.
Present.
Bradley. Conkling.
Present.
Dickinson.
Here.
Fowler. Pennington.
Here.
Jack.
Here.
Caesar. Thompson.
Here.
And Chairman.
Here. Item 4, adoption of agenda.
So moved. Second.
Thompson and Conley, I believe. Roll call.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes. Item 5, adoption of consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Davidson.
Yes. Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
And Chairman.
Yes. I failed to mention I do have excused absences here for Directors Bradley, Fowler, McCormick, and Teaser, who are all out of town. Item 6, proof of publication of this meeting. I have proof of that, and it will become part of the permanent record of the meeting tonight. Item 8, agency association reports. 8A. Andy Bonenkamp, District Conservationist. There he comes.
Love it.
Ran up here.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Okay,
hi, Andy.
I'll kind of run through some kind of activities we're working on at the moment, and then just kind of quick staffing up update, fairly brief. Currently, we've got around 66 CRP applications within the NRD. Most of those are the safe upland bird applications for upland bird habitat. And those, most of those, almost half of them, are in the Walt Hill field office for Thurston County. And then just a quick update on the IRA funds, Inflation Reduction Act funds that we're getting. So in 2023, we received $2.4 million in EQIP, Environmental Quality Incentives Program, IRA funds. That amounted to $120,000 for the Papio NRD, but they're saying in 2024, we're going to receive $15 million in Nebraska. So if you kind of do the math, if we get the same allocation in the Papio, that's about $750,000 in just the EQIP IRA alone in Papio. So 750 well eclipses our general allocation for any one fiscal year. So we're looking at, you know, just on top of our general allocation, which is around $300,000 a year, we are looking at a substantial amount of money for next year. So we are also going to receive $7.5 million in CSP IRA funds for Nebraska next year. This year we had $4.7 million in Papio. We had zero applications that qualified, so it wasn't a very big deal for us in Papio, but with the amount of money that we're going to receive next year, no doubt we're going to be handling those as well. And then one large item that we're going to be working on as a priority in Nebraska that we touched on in our DC meeting here a couple weeks ago was outreach. It's a big focus for us. We need to really expand our customer, you know, reach throughout the state and amongst all of our customers. And so that's going to be something we're going to be working on, likely going to be working with partners such as the NRDs to kind of find ways that we can do better at that. With the amount of dollars we're getting through IRA, we really need to make more connections so that we can find avenues for the conservation dollars that we're getting. So, and then finally, my staffing update. We do have a few candidates for the natural resource specialist positions that we put out for Tecama, Walt Hill, and Dakota City. We'll be interviewing those. I'm working with my supervisor to interview those in the coming weeks. So hopefully at the next board meeting, I'll have an update with some good news. So that's all I got for tonight.
Okay. Questions for Andy? Thank you.
Thanks.
Item 8B, written report by Director Bradley.
He did provide one, so we'll just carry it over to September.
Okay. All right. Carry that over. HC, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Patrick Bonnet.
I think we discussed our basin tour at the last monthly meeting, but Director McCormick and I both went on this year and spent most of the tour in Hall County. We'll be going out to Kearney again for the annual conference, of course, but wonderful tour and great opportunity to network with other natural resource district directors. I really don't have much to add other than one of the sites we did visit was Dean Edson's family's property, where they personally sponsor and receive promotion through the NRD out there, some shooting skills lab and classes. And I know we've done a good job promoting skeet shooting and shotgun opportunities at some of our sites. I'd like to see us continue to do that and even maybe expand that and potentially cooperate with other entities to promote shooting skills at some of our sites that it may be conducive for. But other than our last report, I don't have anything more to add.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Director Bonnet. I would add, if there's any chance that any other directors can join us in Kearney, that would be very much appreciated. It's a great conference every year. Item 8D, legislative report, Catalyst Public Affairs. Carry that forward. Or?
Yeah, we have a great one. I can just report, so our interim study hearing has been scheduled for September 26th at 10 a.m. Government Affairs Committee. So I will meet Kearney promptly after the dinner on Monday and then testify on Tuesday on that interim study. And then, so Senator McDonald, we want to thank him for introducing that on our behalf. Douglas County is also going to testify.
All right, great. Item 9, public input on the Papio, Missouri NRD fiscal year 2024 budget. General Manager John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Similar to what I discussed on Tuesday night, again, our proposed property tax mill levy is 0.033860. Last year's mill levy was 0.0347. That's a 2.7% reduction. As we spoke, this is based off a 4.5% valuation, but we're looking at probably 8 to 10 total. So I'm guessing our reduction in the mill levy will be 6 to 8%. We are only requesting a 1.8% increase in property tax revenue this year, which equals $543,275. More than last year. So property valued at $100,000 will pay, with just the proposed one today, $33.86 per year or $2.82 a month. $150,000 house would be $50.79 a year or $4.23 a month. And again, we're expecting once we get final valuations, those will even decrease even more than that. Again, this is 18th out of 19 years that we've either dropped our mill levy or kept it static. 12 years we've reduced it. 6 years we remained static. Only 1 year out of those we raised the mill levy. I'm anticipating that this will be the lowest property tax mill levy for the Papua NRD since 2005. So the draft that you have, the changes that were only made, there's only four of them, are highlighted in yellow. So if there's any questions with those, please let me know. I would say the board challenged us to get under or get 2% or below, and I think we delivered. So this budget fully funds all of our projects and programs, and we look forward to just another successful year. So I'll open it up to the public comment.
Any public comment on the 2024 budget proposal?
Good evening.
Good evening. Please state your name and address like you always do.
Sean Malotz, Omaha, Nebraska. I'm here to comment on the fiscal year 2024 budget. I'd like to appreciate John for getting back my questions in a more than timely manner. I've passed out my testimonies for those who want to use it as a reference for any future review of the budget, but one thing I would like to state is I read this Papua NRD fiscal year 2024 budget. It's my opinion that staff's actually recommending a property tax increase when you review the budget to actual. I think that is a more relevant number because that's comparing what individuals paid in 2023 versus what they anticipate to pay in 2024. This is a 1.250 million dollar increase, which is over 4%. In addition, we need to look to the total requirements, which actually increased $14.5 million compared to the prior year. And as we listen to the kudos regarding the reduction in the tax levy, it's important to acknowledge that taxpayers are more concerned with the amount of property tax coming out of their pocket, not whether or not there's a levy increase or decrease. Accordingly, I'm asking conservative directors to make the appropriate motions, adjust expenditures, and decrease the property tax requirement by at least $1.25 million. I've listed areas where I think would be easy to look at and make some adjustments to. That would include on page 5 of the budget. I don't know if it's available to show on the screen for those out in the audience and or to the directors, but on page 5, there are two areas that continue to be on account 4398, which is the Papua Watershed Projects and Special Engineering Projects. On page 14, I would ask that new expenditures be reviewed for new projects and cut them at least by half. That area showed a $500,000 increase compared to prior year. On page 15, I mentioned this at the subcommittee meeting, but I believe there should be an adjustment for the Little Papua Culverts rehab to the $1.450 million that was agreed to or sent to the board for approval at the subcommittee meeting. This change would reduce taxes by $750,000. Again, looking at page 18, reduce the new applications for urban drainageway projects by at least half of what's proposed, reducing them $500,000. These costs increase compared to the fiscal year 23 budget by over $1.5 million. On page 22, eliminate half of the carryover applications for the lake dredging. On page 25, eliminate the new applications under the recreation area development. There's quite a few carryover numbers that could be focused on during the fiscal year 24, so it might be prudent to eliminate some of the new applications and carry them into the fiscal year 25 budget. On 29, same story, There's $1.2 million increase compared to the fiscal year 23 budget, so reducing $500,000 worth of new applications could be prudent as well. These items that I just went over would result in over $2.5 million of property tax savings. I didn't go through the numbers specifically, but I do think there should be a review of the professional fees that are paid to outside professionals. I see that we're increasing the number of employees, we're increasing staff salaries, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe there needs to be a more concentration of having some of these services done in-house. And finally, I would like to draw everybody's attention to page 34 of the budget on the watershed fund. I listened in this meeting about the allowing for a $3 million reserve, and it's specifically listed on page 34. Is it 34, the first page of it? That's the intent of the NRD. But as I look through these numbers, on page 36 at the bottom, this board is allowing staff to maintain a $7,375,000 reserve instead of a $3 million. So if you go to the bottom of that page, on those three columns on the bottom section, there's a $3 million reserve as what's been done historically, but now we're showing to over budget, over tax, $7,375,000. This overtaxing is creating a cash on hand account, which is three lines from the bottom on the right side, of over $23 million. And it's labeled cash on hand. To me, this even shows the egregious excess by looking on page 34. There's over $1 million of interest income collecting on our taxpayer money. And that's compared to the $2 million of interest that's paid out annually per the fiscal year 22 budget. So I consistently have been opposed to the $3 million reserve, and I think it would be responsible, fiscally responsible, to review some of the timelines on these dam projects and reduce the budget accordingly. Moving into next year's budget, don't overbudget this year, so that you can continually take the taxpayers' money and put it in reserves. That would save $7,375,000. With just these items I chatted here tonight, that's close to $10 million. And if this board literally tasked the staff to adjust at least half of these items, that would be a $5 million decrease in property tax. That would not only truly reduce the property tax requirement, it would do a substantial decrease in the tax levy. With that, I respectfully request that a copy of my testimony and the attachments be included with the recorded written minutes of this board meeting. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to discuss them after the meeting. Thank you.
Hello, please state your name and address for the record.
Okay. Good afternoon, Doug Kagan, 416 South 130th Street, speaking for Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom. Every year that we analyze your budget, we see the same financial manipulations, whereby the NRD appropriates a sum for a program or project, spends only a portion of it, then carries the remainder over to the next fiscal year, while adding a new hefty appropriation for the new fiscal year, resulting in a bloated budget. The district spent only 49% of its total fiscal year 2023 appropriations and carried over a whopping balance of almost $25 million. This appropriation stacking requires a higher property tax requirement than necessary. The $1 million plus in interest income again shows that accrued revenues were not spent in a timely manner. Therefore, we suggest implementing zero-based budgeting in every one of your departments. The NRD continues to spend taxpayer dollars on what we term wasteful and unnecessary expenditures. The main purpose of the NRD originally was to prevent catastrophic flooding and subsequent property damage and loss of life along the watershed. but the NRD management and board continually have expanded the scope of their responsibilities to include non-basic programs like Celebrate Trees, trade shows, special events, exhibits, and displays. Cutting non-necessities from the budget should afford a sizable property tax decrease. Your personnel salary increases are much higher than equivalent public salary increases elsewhere for the next fiscal year. Your inflated sums of cash on hand actually surpass the total amount of property taxes collected. Available federal grant money is decreasing, so the NRD should not plan ventures dependent upon the source of revenue. The NRD underestimated the overall increase in valuations at 4.5%. Douglas County valuations likely will increase by about 9 or 10%. Thus, your revenue will increase accordingly, which would allow a lowering of your tax rate. Excuse me. The NRD spends so much on dam repairs, over $1.1 million, that you should stop the effort to build additional dams. This reckless dam funding unnecessarily confiscates private property and productive farmland, creating lakes not fit for swimming or fishing for healthy fish. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak about the budget? Oh, there we go.
Yes, another guy's coming around.
Hi there. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. I'm Dennis Schleiss from 4512 Hickory Street, Omaha, Nebraska. As a taxpayer in Douglas County, I am asking the NRD board to lower their taxing levy as much as possible and to join with other taxing agencies to lower their tax levies. Due to the overvaluation of home property in Douglas County, us homeowners will need some kind of a relief from this burden of over-evaluation of real estate property. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Beckstrom, please state your name and address for the record.
Kenneth Beckstrom, 15429 Hamilton Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68154. And I guess I've heard Mayor Stothard say many times that she's lowered the taxes by lowering the levy. But I think most people realize that taxes depend on two numbers, the levy and the value placed on the property. And it's been pretty consistent here that over the last, 100 years, maybe values have increased. I know here in the last 20 years, there's been astronomical increases in value. So just to say that you lower the levy does not mean you lower the taxes. So it's kind of misleading to say you lowered the levy and infer that you lowered the taxes. It seemed like Mr. Winkler did mention that the taxes for a certain house would go up by a certain number. So I like to hear that there. That actually taxes are going up, even though you lower your levy. And then, of course, I got my usual deal there where, as far as dams, seems to me like you're overemphasize the construction of dams to the point where you're willing to pay prime top price for land that isn't suitable for development. So these people that are concerned about the budget, that's one way they could do it, is try to insist that you guys place a fair market value on the land, not just whatever number you think is appropriate to get the job done. So when you pay 2 to 3 times what ground is worth, you rack up millions and millions of dollars worth of debt, and I don't think most taxpayers would be too excited about that. So, again, it's just nice. It'd be nice if you inform the people when you're doing these projects that you realize the land is worth substantially less and you're just willing to pay a premium to get the job done. And it isn't, you know, if you're using your own money, I really wouldn't care what you pay for it. You could pay $200,000 an acre, which the way you're going, you might probably get there pretty soon, but you could pay $200,000 an acre for this land. But when it's only worth $20,000, $25,000, you pay $75,000, you're running up millions and millions of excess debt for the taxpayers of this district. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. We appreciate that very much. Is there anybody else from the public that would wish to speak about the budget? John, do you want to say anything?
I can say a whole lot. I'll just ask a question.
Yeah, I would just note that this board asked for a less than 2% increase in tax revenue, and so far that's what the staff has delivered in the draft budget. So the mill levy will be cut substantially at our next meeting. So, all right. Item 10, subcommittee reports. First up, programs, projects, and operations, Director Fred Conley.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. 10A, programs, projects, and operations subcommittee. Be it resolved that the minutes of the August 8, 2023 meeting of the programs, projects, and operations subcommittee are accepted, incorporating these minutes in the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, presentation of the 2022 groundwater quality monitoring results. This was a presentation. No action was taken by the subcommittee. 10A2, contract with JEO Consulting Group for groundwater modeling. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a professional service agreement with JEO Consulting Group, Inc., for the Lower Platte River Basin Sub-Regional Groundwater Modeling Project in a not-to-exceed amount of $623.60, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. I so move.
Okay, any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors, roll call.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
10A3, amendment to amendment number 2 with Houston Engineering for Little Papio Culverts Group B. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute amendment number 2 to the professional service agreement for construction, administration, and observation services with Houston Engineering, Inc. for the Little Papio Channel Culverts Rehabilitation Project, Group B Culverts, in the amount of $532,630 for a revised not-to-exceed fee of $1,439,650 for the total agreement, subject to changes deemed necessary by general manager and approval as deployed by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Jeff.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Yes.
10A4. WP2 interlocal agreement with the City of Gretna. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed West Papillion Regional Basin 2 interlocal agreement with the City of Gretna, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Any public comments on this item? Staff, directors, roll call.
Yes.
Bonner.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye. Davidson.
Yes.
Pennington.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Anton.
Yes.
And that completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Item 10B, Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee, Director Phil Davidson.
Thank you, Chairman Sapensky. Be it resolved that the minutes of the August 8, 2023 meeting of the Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item number one, fiscal year 2024 budget draft two. The recommendation that a fiscal year 24 draft budget be forwarded for review at the September 12, 2023 budget hearing, with the provision that the general manager be authorized to make necessary adjustments once final figures are available to achieve compliance of state statutes regarding the LID.
And I so move.
Did we vote on this?
Yes.
Any public comments on this item? Staff? Directors? Roll call.
Comment.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes.
Item number two, land acquisition DS-7. The recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with HRC Kempton Creek LLC and with HRC Morgan Ridge LLC for the purchase of 46.884 total acres for construction of the Dam Site 7 Regional Basin Project for the total amount of $1,969,128, subject to the changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Any public comments on this item?
Kenneth Beckstrom, 15429 Hamilton Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68154. What's that figure out per acre there for price on that? I'm sorry. I don't.
It's
$40,000 per acre. You're getting more reasonable than $75,000. Again, you know, my main concern has always been that these acquisitions are based on a fair price. Basically, that's market value in my mind as an appraiser. That's market value is the only thing I go by, what a willing buyer and seller would agree to for a price. Informed, and neither under undue duress. So, again, I would hope that you had some appraisals done on this that are by qualified land appraisers. If so, these appraisers were able to come up with sales of comparable properties. As we've talked about before, this would not be prime ridge ground unless you're building dams on top of a ridge. This is more than likely creeks, wetlands, bottom lands, all the different properties that are areas that isn't prime for development. So it would not be relevant, or sales of prime development ground would not be relevant to sales of the type of ground you are buying for dam sites. So I think that should take care of me on this one. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We do get professional appraisals on all land purchases.
And I would – can I ask a question? Or is that,
go ahead.
I guess I don't understand your comments. Are you saying that we're not using qualified appraisers? Because I would think the qualified appraisers are knowing the difference between premium land and not premium land, and I'm sure that's what we're getting. Or are we using people that are just doing this for the first time?
No, they're very experienced, and they've been working with the district for
many years. I guess I don't understand why you would think they're not qualified appraisers.
In fact, this is below appraised value, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like to hear.
Okay.
Below appraised. Yeah, but, well, again, an appraisal is no better than the sales used to support the value. So if you're appraising a hill ground, top piece of ground on top of a hill, mm-hmm. has super good development potential, no flood hazard, no wetness hazard, you aren't taking water from the people above you, that is the prime development ground, is ridge top. Side slopes work, but you still have to deal with the water coming from the ridge down the hill. And then if you're... let's say you're building a house, you usually don't build it in the bottom of a ditch. Like, that's what you guys are buying for these dams is ditch, the adjoining wetlands, the ground that's subject to flooding. All that water goes down, all the water goes downhill into these valleys. So there's a wetness hazard. And if it just isn't worth the same as top hill ground, ridge top ground. So what you need to come up with a good argument, appraisal is no more than an argument for value. So what you do if you're appraising a ditch or wetlands or bottomlands, you find sales of wetlands and bottomlands. That's what you do. Yeah, that's just, and if you don't have that, if I as an appraiser did an appraisal of a bottomland piece of ground, and I used prime development ground along Dodge Street, that probably wouldn't be too good an argument for the value of that bottomland. So when I look at sales, the closest sale I could come to this dam site 12 that had bottomlands was out west of Alcorn. It didn't quite touch the Alcorn River, and it sold for under $10,000 an acre. Level, pivot irrigated cropland. It'd be no problem putting a big old building out there. It's level. But it's in the floodway. Most of that ground was in the floodway. So basically that's why it sold for $10,000 instead of $75,000 an acre, because it isn't suitable for development.
All right. We appreciate your comments.
Where would you build a house? Would you build a house on top of a hill or down on the bottom of a ditch or next to a ditch? And that's what all these developers look at, the same thing. You don't see developers going out there paying $75,000 an acre for bottom land. If they're there, well, I asked John, hey, John, show me some sales of bottom land for $75,000 per acre. That's 6 months ago or whenever was I asking for that. Nobody, even your top professional appraisers, have provided any sales of bottom lands for $75,000 an acre. They have not provided any for $50,000 an acre. They have not provided any for $35,000 an acre. And I gave you a sale last week of the highest priced bottom land sale I could find. On the south edge of Ellie, across from 3M, west of the
I got to cut you off, Mr. Beckstrom. I got to cut you off.
For $25,000 an acre.
We appreciate your passion and your concern, but we disagree with you. Land is being sold all over Douglas County for $75,000 an acre, not for $10,000 an acre. It's highly sought after. We use professional appraisers each and every time. Mm-hmm. They disagree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
All right. I appreciate your concern, but I got to cut you off. That's it. Your time is up.
Okay. I'll be back.
Any other public comment on this? Staff, directors, roll call.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Emerson.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Barnett.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes. All right, item number three, land acquisition WP2. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with Connie L. Teft, trustee of the Crambeck Living Trust, for the purchase of 15.982 acres for the construction of WP2 flood control reservoir project for the total amount of $1,038,830, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move. Thank you, Director Davidson. Any public comment on this item? Staff, directors, roll call.
Davidson.
Yes.
Kennington.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
And Chairman.
Yes. Item number four, land acquisition DS-19. The recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a purchase agreement with MRDP, LLC for the purchase of tracts 5 and 10 for the dam site 19 project for the purchase price of $4,069,940, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by the district legal counsel, and I so move. Okay, any public comments on this item?
Kenneth Beckstrom, 15429 Hamlet Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68154. And what's the price per acre on this one again? I'm sorry.
It was $4,069,944. I don't know how many acres. For tracks 5 and 10 for the dam site 19 project.
So it was $70,000 per acre for 11.8 acres, because it's close to 204th and Giles, 204th frontage property, and then 55.9 acres at 58,000.
We're getting back to the real money now. So, again, same argument. Without looking at the appraisal, I don't think, Brent, excuse me there, but you said you don't release those till after the job, you made the deal, right? And I offered to review these appraisals beforehand, and I got to know a little bit what's going on here. But anyway, assuming based on the other ones, all the sales will be of ridge ground, prime development ground, and more than likely, what is, if this is a dam site, it's being built in the bottom of a creek, or in the bottom of a draw. So we've got the same situation where basically the comparable sales, unless they've come up with some new ones, which is very possible. Well, they haven't yet. So, and nobody's told me about them anyway, if they found any bottomland sales for $75,000, $50,000, $35,000. They haven't come up with any kind of numbers like that yet there. So there's got to be some bottomland sales. They got to be able to find some comparable sales, these guys. They've been in the business just about as long as I have, if it's ones you've been using before there. So it isn't that they aren't out there. I'm willing to share my bottomland sales with them if they can't find any. But anyway, again, similar deal. You're probably paying 2 to 3 times what the ground is worth, which is pretty typical over everything you did here in the last, well, all the sales. Really, all the properties you acquired probably in the last 10 years have been at close to at least two times what they're worth on the open market. What a developer, right? The market around Omaha is developers. What would a developer pay for that ground? That's what I would ask myself if I were an appraiser. And more than likely, it is going to be substantially less than what you paid for it, or willing to pay, the price you're settling on here.
Thank you for your comments. Any other comments, questions, staff, directors? Roll call.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jack. Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Yes.
And
yes. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Davidson. Item 10C, Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the Papio Energy Hazard Mitigation Plan Update. Director Ted Jepp.
Thank you, Chairman
Spinski. Be it resolved that the minutes of the August 8, 2023 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultants Selection Subcommittee, RFP, for Papio NRD Hazard Mitigation Plan Update are accepted. Incorporated in these minutes and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, the initial screening of proposals for consultant selection interviews. Recommendation that the Board of Directors waive the interview process under Director Policy 15.2 since only one engineering firm submitted a proposal in response to the advertised request for proposal, and that the General Manager negotiate a contract with JEO Consulting Group Incorporated to provide professional service to update the district's multi-hazard mitigation plan, HMP, and I so move.
Thank you, Director Jepp. Any public comments on this item? Hazard mitigation, staff, directors, roll call.
Jack.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Chairman.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Director Jepp. Item 11, Treasurer's Report, Director Pat Bonnet.
Mr. Chairman, regarding agenda item 11, I move that items A through J be treated as all-inclusive, that the bills listed on the July 2023 financial report, future claims for project utilities be paid, and that the financial reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes.
Second the motion.
Seconded by Director Thompson. Any public comments on this? Staff, directors, roll call.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Conley.
Aye.
Davidson.
Yes.
Henningsen.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
And Chairman.
Yes. Thank you, Director Bonnet. Item 12, Chairman's Report. I don't have a whole lot. It's budget season. I would like to congratulate the staff for tightening their belt and going after grants with reckless abandon so we can only take an additional 1.8%. And tax revenue. I only wish that every other agency out there would do the same. But congratulations to staff General Manager Winkler, appreciate that very much. We look forward to ratifying this budget here in a month. Item 13, General Manager's Report, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, we couldn't do it without the staff that we have. And everybody works hard to only take, obviously, what we need. A couple of things, just for perspective, serving as elected officials, and I've had the opportunity to serve elected positions, and Phil can commiserate with me on this one. You know, when you do a school budget, I can honestly say that our budget that we present to the public is the most transparent budget you'll find. There isn't one, bar none. County, city, school district, you name it. And there's literally, in a school budget, there are funds, like a depreciation fund, a building fund, that can levy a higher tax rate than the NRD can do statutorily. So when we're at little over 3 cents, I mean, I had a depreciation fund when I was on the Louisville School Board, 5 cents. That wasn't counting the $1.14 of additional money. So if you look at the paper, City of Omaha, Douglas County, they're not taking 1.8. They're taking 7, 8, it might be 10%. So take your hat off and wave it, because we are going to, when this final one's adopted, because there's no one, I guarantee there's no one, especially in the eastern part of the state, that's going to beat this. And if they do, congratulations. Because it's not an easy thing to do. When you got inflation running 4%, 4.5%, it was 9% just a year ago. So I just wanted to commend you, because I've sat on that side of the table. And I sit on the side of that table at the county. It's not easy. Because you have to fund projects, you have to fund programs, you have to fund personnel. Those are the things you do. You can't willy-nilly just throw things out. Reduce this, reduce that. It has impacts. It has real-life impacts, not only for citizens, but for your employees and all your constituents. So it isn't a willy-nilly process. It takes a lot of dedication from people that have been around for a long time to do it. And so I'm very proud of this. I'm very proud of our record over 20 years that we have. We've averaged probably 4%, a little over. In those times. So I think you've done a tremendous job. So hats off to all of you guys. Information education highlights. The Chaco Summer Series event on the summer of August 2nd was completed. We had a fishing event, first time ever. So we had a lot of kids come out and fish. And so some caught fish for the very first time. So congratulations to INE for that. Our largest water festival of the year, World of Water, takes place next month on Saturday, September 9th. From 12 to 4 here at the Chaco Harris Recreation Area. Personnel miscellaneous items. We had 3 new hires this month, which are now we're now officially fully staffed. So we've had quite a bit of a turnover, retirements, people that left.
It's good news.
So we're fully staffed. One thing I will also talk about is we have 52 full-time employees now. We've had 50 to 52 full-time employees since I got here 17 years ago. We have not increased our staff hardly at all. And if you look at the number of levies, the number of projects that we have built over that time, and the responsibilities that we've picked up with our staff, everybody has, you know, kind of gotten the boat and rowed in the same direction. So we've got a 6-county area, and we have 52 full-time people. So, again, I would ask any of the other agencies out there to match that as well. So our new hires are Lance Hebel. He was hired as our new water supply operator, maintenance technician for Washington County. He took Kyle Wynn's place and went to MUD. His first day was July 31st. Bo Carpenter, he's been hired as our new water supply operator, maintenance tech for Thurston County. Our first day was August 1st. And then Tamara Tipton, she's been hired as our new field office program specialist at the Wolf Hill Field Office, and her first day was August 2nd. So the report on purchases, construction services, professional service, personal property is attached, as well as the current and ongoing legal counsel report. The Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership report took place on July 27th, and the meetings are attached. Next meeting is scheduled for August 24th. That concludes my report, unless anybody has any questions.
Questions for General Manager Winkler?
I got no questions, but a comment. And you talked about 50 to 52 employees, and mm-hmm. those guys are doing a great job. and they're helping keep this budget down. They deserve to have a modest increase in their salary. If not, they're going to go somewhere where they can get a salary. I mean, we're lucky to have some of these people, and I think they deserve the raises they get. You know, I mean, they're not out of line by any means. And it's just, I always question, the way inflation is going, the way, gas is going, the way prices of milk going. I mean, do people really think our employees don't deserve a raise? I just don't understand that thinking.
I mean, so obviously with the way, especially the new hires, and Gene and I were talking about this today, but the new hires, we used to hire at a kind of 80% of our salary. Well, you're not competitive now. When you go to Burger King for $20 an hour or wherever for $25 an hour. Now we have to hire them close to that 85% or a little bit higher to bring those folks in. I don't know what our payroll would be if I had a whole staff of 100 engineers that I would need to do all these things on our own. I couldn't even imagine what that would be. I don't even know if we've got enough to, we could even levy to get that, to get to that point. So, yeah, it's tough. It's a tough environment to keep people. We've had folks that moved on, like to MUD and new jobs like that, which we can't compete with. Mm-hmm. But then you got to try to recruit quality folks to fill those spots. And it's a struggle. It's not out of line at all. And our increases aren't out of line with what gets negotiated with the union in Lincoln. I forgot what their last increase was, 10, 20%, whatever that was. I would say we do a pretty good job of keeping consistent. And that's what I'm proud of this organization. We do not have wide swings. We're consistent. We do the same thing every year. We stay in that 3-4% range, this year lower, obviously. And we stay consistent. It's easier to predict. It's easier to plan when you do that. We don't have wide swings of taking 20% property tax increase like the city of Lincoln. And then next year you're cutting down to the bare bones. We don't do that. There's no reason to. And people can plan for that. If they know, hey, it's going to be 3% every year or right around there, people can prepare and plan for that. They can't plan for the big, huge swings. And that's what we try to avoid.
The one thing I would agree with, though, is that the valuation, the valuations, we have no control over valuations.
Right.
And I do wish those would get a little bit more under control, a little bit more steady. That would make our jobs a lot easier. Because we don't know. I mean, it could be 10% or it could be 2%. I mean, obviously we have estimates, but it just comes. It's just that needs to be a little bit more under control.
Right. I know there's efforts underway, and there has been in the past to try to limit either valuations or to limit spending to that 3-4% type of area, and that's another reason why we try to keep it there, because there has been efforts to try to kind of keep that balance and keep it there. I just talked to a Douglas County commissioner the other day about trying to work within the state statute to try to get that under control, where assessors can't have those wide swings, that it's more of a consistent percentage every year for everybody. So if they don't value your house for 3 years, all of a sudden you get a 40%, 50% increase in 1 year. That's what people get upset at. They can't plan for that.
And that happens in Sarpy County and Douglas County.
It's happening all over.
That's a tax hike.
But that's what's the tough part. Yeah. If you're on a limited income or you have a specific budget and all of a sudden your taxes went up 40%, that's hard to plan for in 1 year. But if it's consistently, whatever that percent may be, it's easier, obviously, to do that because it's happening. So that's my soapbox.
Thank you.
Probably more than you wanted to know.
Director Bond, did you have a question?
I just wanted to, with the general manager up here now, just reiterate that this is only the second draft, and we still have a little time yet before we do pass a final budget. I want to commend our staff and John for doing such a wonderful job getting us to this point at this point in the process. I do have a few tweaks that I would like to make to the budget that are relatively minor, and I'm looking forward to discussing it with the staff over the next 30 days or so. But I think we heard a few comments made tonight that need to be further addressed and maybe even reiterated later on. But this NRD, 52 full-time employees, they manage more than 60 sites, miles and miles of water pipeline, hundreds of miles of levee, water towers, flapper gates, culverts, all over the six-county community. That is asking a lot of very few people. And that's why we go ahead and instead of housing even more employees in the house, which is exorbitantly expensive, we outsource it for cost savings utilizing outside engineering firms. We're not in a closed market real estate-wise. We are operating in the open market. We have to compete with every other organization, private company, public entity out there. And we can't just come to the table and say, we are going to pay less. As a conservative, you will never find me initiating a taking of someone's private property if it all can be avoided. I'd much rather go to the negotiating table and come up with something reasonable. We cannot stop a farmer from selling out to a developer. Most of the times, they'd rather sell out to us and see a nice facility created where it makes sense. The bottom lands turned into a small fishing lake or something like that, if it provides a great deal of flood control. The same people that are arguing against dam sites have no real alternative to flood control. We either do regional flood control basins, or you use an alternative of localized water retention ponds. And to achieve the same flood control, you would need over 800 of those ponds. Now, you want to talk about stepping on people's private property rights, that would do it. You would have thousands of people adjacent to those ponds, which fill up with trash, there's bug and mosquito problems, there's safety issues for children. You have those issues solved in a regional retention basin, which we call dam sites. I do not want to live next to a muddy pond, and neither do most of my constituents. It's unsafe. And so I do not want to see us move in that direction. Much rather proceed in the direction we've decided on for 65 years, which is regional retention basins, flood control structures, water quality structures, and other facilities that satisfy the 9 to 12 statutory requirements that the state of Nebraska has deemed the NRDs responsible for. Our staff is one of the most responsible, highest performing groups of public employees that I've seen in the state, and I've looked at a lot of entities out there, departments. So I do commend John and the staff. Always room for improvement, and I do have a number of ideas for you to share over the next couple of weeks, but I wanted to say thank you. And I do think we need to keep reminding the public the overall mission is flood control, protection of lives and private property, and it's best achieved with regional basins. Thank you.
Well said, Dr. Bonnet. I would also add they are wildly popular, every one of them. So anything else, John?
No, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Item 14, please note we are a closed course for Labor Day. This great country was built on the backs of labor. Enjoy that day. World of Water, World O Water, September 9, 12 to 4. Please try to attend that. Our subcommittee meeting and next board meeting will, of course, be in Dakota City, Nebraska. So please note that. It will be good to get up there again. And, of course, we mentioned the conference earlier. Any other directors that can attend that, I would consider that a personal favor. And with that, item 15, we are adjourned.